You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Percival, 3rd Earl of Warwick, my lords, my ladies, it is with honour I introduce my liege, Sir Thomas Colville.
You're good. You're very good. My lords, my ladies, and everybody else here not sitting on a cushion. Today, you find yourselves equals. For you are all equally blessed. For I have the pride, the privilege, nay, the pleasure of introducing to you a knight, sired by knight, a knight who can trace his lineage back beyond Charlemagne. I first met him atop a mountain near Jerusalem, praying to God, asking his forgiveness for the Saracen blood spilt by his sword. Next, he amazed me still further in Italy when he saved a fatherless beauty from the would-be ravishings of her dreadful Turkish uncle. In Greece, he spent a year in silence, just to better understand the sound of a whisper. And so, without further gilding the lily, and with no more ado, I give to you the seeker of serenity, the protector of Italian virginity, the enforcer of our Lord God, the one, the only, Sir Ulrich von Liechtenstein! Thank you! Thank you, I'll be here all week!
Well, that was different.
Hey, here I come. Coming in to teach you all. And you are awesomely blessed because I'm here. And I just want you to know that. I have multiple degrees in multiple schools I've been studying for years. Just on this passage alone today, I probably spent 20 hours studying it. And so consider yourselves to be I am in your presence. So that's pretty cool. I am breathing the same air that you're breathing, and so you guys should really feel like wonderful, special people. So thank you. Again, my name is Pastor. Please call me Pastor. Sean Fitch. You can actually call me Pastor Fitch if you wish. You're welcome to bow down and kiss my hand if you want to. But I just want you to know that I am awesome, and you little peons that are out there are not as good as me. Because you're not, you know, men of the cloth, such as myself. So, without further ado, please listen to every word that I have to say, because everything that I have to say will bless you, even if I sneeze. It's going to be good for you. actually, that's obviously entirely not true, some of that. I mean, when you sneeze, you say bless you. But come on, wouldn't it be awesome sometimes? Don't we want to have a trumpet make a sound, a trumpet herald, or someone come and stand up and say, "Here comes Bill!" If you're Bill, that would be cool. If you're not Bill, you wouldn't be cool. That wouldn't be exciting to you. But, I think that, you know, as you watch that movie, that's a fun movie. And the herald there, if you don't know anything about A Knight's Tale, the guy that he introduces, Sir Lichtenstein, his name is William Thatcher, and he's a peasant. And his master died, and so he put on his suit and pretended to be this great knight. And so really, all that stuff was complete lies, complete just made-up story about William Thatcher to make him sound really impressive. Okay, nobody likes an arrogant pastor. The world has plenty of them, so we don't need more of them, right? And nobody likes an arrogant person, for the most part. We don't like arrogance. We're tired of the TOs, the Terrell Owens. We're tired of the big name, you know, LeBron James. They're just talking about how good they are and how wonderful they are. And we don't like that. However, I think inside all of us, there's this secret desire where it would be kind of cool if people knew how great we were. If people knew just all that we have done. I mean, today, this morning has been crazy. So if this is your first time with us, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe God doesn't want you here. I don't know. So far, pretty much everything has gone wrong that possibly could at this point. And it's just one of those days. But there are a lot of people that pulled off what's happening today. I mean, there's a lot of people on vacation and out this weekend, and so there's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes. There are things that happen. You know, I was here last night, and the building was being cleaned at 10 o'clock at night so that it was ready for you guys this morning. And that's just one part of it. ATU all tuned up afterwards. There's going to be a lot of impressive things happening with that. And there's a lot of work that goes on. And you know, if you're a parent, you know, you realize that you don't really do any work as a parent. But it would be nice if somebody, I'm just kidding, we obviously parents, there's a lot of work as a parent, and you'd love for somebody to maybe just say once about how good you are. And here's the deal with all that. As much as we would like for people to talk about how good we are, as much as we would like to have a trumpet herald our entrance into the room, you're not all that. I'm not all that. And that's our point for today, that I want you to walk away with at the end of the day. I want you to be strong. This series is strong. We're going through the life of Daniel. Today's point is be strong. You're not all that. And I know that's a very 90s kind of phrase, but sorry. But you're not all that. You're not all that. The only thing that you have, the only thing that I have that is of value is Jesus Christ. The only accomplishment that I can say I have done is anything that Jesus has done through me. The only thing that you can say that you have done is anything that God has done through you. And you need to understand that you're not all that. And I don't want to burst your bubble, but you're not. I'm not. And, you know, for me, it's easy. I've got lights on me. And because of my head, you've got lights on you because it's reflecting back. But it's easy to be in the spotlight and say, yeah, I have kind of come to deserve this. Come on, I've put in my time, I've done my due. And as we're going to look at Daniel today, man, that's not true at all. Everything that we've got is because God has done something in us. God has put us in that place. And we need to constantly, 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 constantly remember that it's about Him. It's about what He has done in our lives. It's about what He has allowed us to be a part of. It's about what He has done for us. And so I want to look at Daniel chapter 5. Last week I was not here. I had a week off with my wife and my kids as well. We had a great time. At this time last week we were getting ready to go biking and it was sunny. And as soon as we got onto the trail it started pouring and we couldn't turn back. But we had a great time as a family the whole weekend. And so I thank you guys for giving me some time off, the elders especially for allowing us to do that. It's good to get a break every once in a while. But last week you watched a video by Andy Stanley, and he said, leadership is a stewardship, it's temporary, and you're accountable. And there's a passage, there's a verse here that we're going to look at again today that he referred to a number of times in Daniel chapter 4. And it was the story of of Nebuchadnezzar and how he was basically arrogant, was standing on the roof of his house, and this is a very short summary version, the roof of his palace, and said, wow, look at this great kingdom, aren't I awesome? And God said, well, let me show you how awesome I am, and basically made him insane for the next few years until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and he gives them to whomever he chooses. And so last week we looked at the point was, you know, be strong. God has you here for a reason. And as you see the slideshow in the foyer, we've got the posters for the ATU Pact, little signs that said, you know, what did they say? They said, God has me exactly where I belong. There we go. That's what it says. God has me exactly where I belong. And we want, the whole point of last week was to encourage you guys that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you find yourself, God has you there on purpose for a reason. And sometimes that's hard to believe. Sometimes when you're going through the muck of life, that's hard. And so that's what last week was about. Last week was an encouragement. Unfortunately, we can't post that online because it's not our video to do that with. But that's what last week was. This week, I want to kind of flip that around, if you haven't figured already. I'm not here to encourage you. I'm here to kind of smack us upside the head and say, hey, look, we're not all that. And so last week was an encouragement that God has you where you are. This week, I want you to understand that anything that you've got is because of God. And so when we want to take credit for our own wonderful things, our own accomplishments, we need to realize that it was really about God. So go ahead and Daniel 5 is on the screen there. If you have the YouVersion app, you can tap Daniel and then tap 5. I'm reading from the NIV. You can have your Bibles if you have paper. The lights are coming on. But let me just read this. This part of the passage actually was taught last week in the video as well, and I didn't remember that as much until I listened to it again this past week. So some of this is going to be review if you were here last week, but again, I'm going to take it on a different twist. But in Daniel chapter 5, we start out with a new king. This king, his name is Belshazzar. And if you remember, Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were Hebrews. And they were brought into Babylon. They were taken into captivity into Babylon, because that's how Babylon handled capturing a kingdom. And they were given new names. And Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were given the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which we are pretty much familiar with, especially if you grew up in church. And Daniel was given a new name. And his name was Belteshazzar. And remember, we talked about the first week, Belteshazzar was a T. Pity the fool, he's tough. He was strong. Daniel was strong. So when you see Belteshazzar, that's Daniel. This Belshazzar, which I was telling you to be prepared, was coming. This is a different king. This is not the same person. This is a king, and so he's the one in charge. He's the Babylonian king, and as you'll see, we're going to switch a whole reign of an empire by the end of this chapter. But here we are in Daniel chapter 5. So I'm just going to read it. It says, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. Now, a couple things. First of all, the very first week I mentioned when they took over Jerusalem, how they grabbed the temple artifacts. And I said that's going to come into play later. Well, here we are. So these are stored in a treasury. And Nebuchadnezzar, it says his father, the Hebrew word actually means ancestor. And again, if you were here last week, you learned that Belshazzar's father was a guy named Nabonidus. And his grandfather was Nebuchadnezzar. Did I say Belshazzar? Is that the right way? So Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's grandfather. So the word father doesn't necessarily mean it was just his dad. And that's going to come into play in a little bit. So he had taken this stuff from that was the temple of God. And I guess 2 months ago now, we did this series on Dwell, where we looked at the tabernacle and we talked about how, you know, people worshipped and encountered God there in this holy site in the tabernacle. And so basically, Nebuchadnezzar grabbed these holy artifacts, stored them away, and now Belshazzar, in his, as we'll see in a moment, in his arrogance, brought them out. And I'm not going to go into all the details. If you were here last week, you heard some of those details about the video. But he got them from the temple treasury, and so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. By the way, he has a party for 1,000 people. That's a lot of people. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the kings and his nobles and his wives and his concubines drank from them. And as they drank the wine, they praised the God of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So they're taking these sacred artifacts from the temple. Now, we need to understand that there was nothing special about them. It wasn't like, oh, okay, because that goblet came from the temple, therefore God is in that goblet. You know, we all love Indiana Jones, but unfortunately, there is no power in the actual objects. The power is in God. But Belshazzar didn't know that. He didn't think that. He thought that the objects themselves were spiritual. And so this is a way of basically showing how impressive he was. He's throwing this great party to talk about how awesome he is. And he says, let's bring in these, that temple from that God. Let's bring in his stuff too. We're going to celebrate. We're going to praise the fact that we are greater than any of those gods. And so it goes on in verse 5. He says, suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. So it was near the lampstand, so it wasn't like, was that a hand or not? It was very clearly in the light. So they knew a human hand appeared and wrote on the wall. And it says, the king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak, and his knees were knocking. Here's a really cool thing. You know what a euphemism is? A euphemism is a phrase that we say that makes things polite. Like, I have to go powder my nose. That means, I'm going to go pee, okay? That's a euphemism. Sometimes we use them. Well, there's a really interesting euphemism in Hebrew here. It says that the other versions talk about how his legs became weak, or how his legs quivered underneath him. The word literally means his bowels became loose. So they're being polite, but dude pooped his pants. This was not. This is like, holy cow! There is a giant hand writing on my wall, and he crapped himself. Okay, like, this is serious. Okay, this is not just a minor little deal. And it says his knees were knocking together. So it goes on and says the king, of course, pretty upset at this point, needing to find a bathroom as well. He summoned the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. And dude, these guys are just losers throughout the story. You know, throughout the book of Daniel, we keep seeing these guys, and all they say is, may the king live forever. You're pretty cool, king. But we can't do anything you ask. But ultimately, it's because God is greater. So he says to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck. And purple was a sign of royalty. Basically, he's saying, you are going to be important. He says, and he'll be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. And again, that's probably because he was the ruler. His dad, Nabonidus, was still around, and so the third highest position would go to this person. So he says, then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. And it's just an interesting little leadership thing here. When Nebuchadnezzar got mad at people because they couldn't interpret his dreams, he just killed them. And Belshazzar, when people couldn't interpret his dream, he just got scareder, more scared. And so I don't know what that means. I don't know if he was just a loser or what, but Belshazzar is pretty much a loser in here. So then it goes on and says, now, so everybody's upset. The king's freaking out. This hand wrote on the wall, okay? I think we would freak out if we saw a disembodied hand writing on the wall in here. That would be weird. We would first say, okay, what kind of technology did this? And even still, like, it would be weird, okay? So he's freaked out. He's messed his pants. And now he says, I need someone to tell me what this means. And all the wise people that report to him say, we don't know. Now, this is a commotion, this party of 1,000. And for some reason, the queen, by the way, the Hebrew word here is queen mother. So it's most likely his mom or possibly his grandmother, Nebuchadnezzar's wife. It says she heard the voices of the king and his nobles. She came into the banquet hall. May the king live forever, which is there's a euphemism there. You're so wonderful and don't kill me. She said, "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father," again, that same word of the ancestor, "he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. He did this because Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So the queen mom remembers, and again, if this is Nebuchadnezzar's wife, she knows the story. Like, my husband was normal, he was all proud, and then he went crazy and went to live with the animals and went literally insane. And so she knows the story. She was there. She was part of these stories. She knows about the fiery furnace. She knows about she probably knew about the fact that Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael didn't eat the food from the king's table. She's aware of what's going on here. And she says, "Hey, son, grandson, whatever you are, look, don't freak out. Get some toilet paper and then get Daniel in here, because he knows what's going on. He was able to help your grandfather out. He knows these dreams. He can do this. Call him in and he will tell you what it means." And so Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of God is in you and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom." Next slide. "The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and will have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." So Belshazzar is having his party. A hand appears, writes on the wall. He doesn't know what it means, brings in Daniel, and says, "Daniel, I understand that you can work this out for me, that you can explain this. And if you do, I will make you the third highest person in the king." That is the background. That is setting us up for where we're going. And I want to remind you that what we're talking about today is to be strong, because you're not all that. Be strong. You're not all that impressive. You're not all that amazing. You're not all that wonderful by yourself. Now, this obviously, like, this is not very, like, pro self-esteem. You know, if you want to hug afterwards, that's cool. I'll help you out with that. But don't miss what I'm saying. You are created in the image of God, so you do have inherent value. However, that's only because of God. It's only because of what God has done in you. So be strong. You're not all that. So now let's talk about this. You've got an issue here, because you've got Belshazzar, who is throwing this party to tell everyone how awesome he is, how incredible he is, how impressive he is. And again, throwing a party for 1,000 people is a big deal. Okay, but on top of that, he brings in all of these temple artifacts, all of these things from other nations to prove, look at this. Not only am I awesome, but we have conquered everybody. We are in control of everything. We are the largest empire in the world, which was true for about 12 more hours. And he wants to tell everyone how impressive he is and show everyone how impressive he is. He likes to toot his own horn. And, of course, I did some research on Google. But the phrase tooting your own horn, if you did not know this, but obviously when an important person would come, when royalty would show up, a trumpet would announce their presence. A little flat. There. You would hear that sound. Someone important is about to be here. Someone important is about to come through. A baby was sleeping and I just woke them up. But that's what, you know, that was that phrase, that someone would come and announce that someone important is about to come behind this sound. When you hear this sound, someone great is about to be here. And a lot of times we like to kind of toot our own horn and talk about how great we are and talk about how, well, I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but I did really do a good job on that song. I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but, you know, my edging on my lawn is stinking awesome, okay? And, we use that phrase because that's what it means, that we want to tell everyone how great we are. And that was the same problem that Belshazzar had, is that he wanted to tell everyone how great, how impressive he was. And so I want to kind of do a double play here, looking at how Belshazzar does it and what we do the same way. So the first thing when it comes to tooting our own horn is that we succeed. One of the reasons we like to tell people about how awesome we are, how good we are, is because when we have success, we think that is because of us. And success is a problem. It is. I mean, we live in America. We are the nation of success, the American story. You know, we know all about that stuff. And success is an intoxicant. Success is something that we say, wow, something went well. I mean, when things aren't going well, we're not like, yeah, I'm great. Like that, I am the best game planner ever. And you know what? I think I'm gonna next time I'll plan games, and I'll even use a bigger bag of M&Ms and fewer people up front to eat it, and I'll hope that it takes 3 hours because we don't need anything else to accomplish on Sunday morning. You know, when we have failures, we don't talk about how wonderful they are. But when we succeed, we get caught up in thinking, I did do a pretty good job, didn't I? That was pretty nice. That was rather impressive. And so success is the problem. And so here's where Belshazzar's issue came along. So he brings Daniel in, and we're looking at verse 17 in chapter 5. It says, then Daniel answered the king, you may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. So shove it, king. But nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. Your Majesty, the Most High God gave your father, your ancestor, your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Who gave him that? The Most High God gave him that. Gave him greatness, glory, splendor, sovereignty, meaning he was in control of all of it. And he said, because of the high position he gave him, all the nations and peoples of every language dreaded and feared him. He says, look, your dad, your granddad Nebuchadnezzar, he was in charge of everything. Everyone was afraid of him. He was great. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. Nebuchadnezzar was the man. Nebuchadnezzar had it all because God had given it to him. And then he goes on and he says, but when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like one of the ox. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms on earth, and he sets them over anyone he wishes. See, he says, here's the deal. Nebuchadnezzar had everything. And suddenly Nebuchadnezzar started thinking it was all about him. God gave him those, but he became arrogant and was hardened with pride. He thought it was all about him. And so in the process, he succeeded. He succeeded, and suddenly now his head's getting a little too big. Now suddenly, maybe not suddenly, it didn't happen suddenly, I'm sure it was a slow process. But now he is tooting his own horn. He is talking about how great he is. And that's the problem that we have. When we succeed, when something goes well, we're often ready to say, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was pretty impressive there. And we get caught up in that. And I'm not saying success is bad. I'm not saying it's wrong to do things well. Certainly not. We try to do everything well. As a church, you know, we want to give God our best. And you want to do the best in your job. And you want to be the best parent you can be and the best husband and wife that you can be. But sometimes we get caught up in the success mentality and think, wow, I did do a pretty good job with that. I am pretty impressive. And, of course, Kendra's not in here right now. I've got a great wife. I love teaching. It's definitely a gift, and I love doing it. I love God, watching God open people's eyes to things and walk away saying, wow, I never knew that. Or watching people say, wow, I need to change that about me. And there's this part of me that's like, yeah, I did a good job last, you know, like we'll get in the car on the way home. I did do a pretty good job. What did people say to you, Kendra? And right away, she's like, oh, please, whatever. This is what you messed up. You messed up that. You messed up that. So she keeps me humble, which is good, and I need that. But it's easy to see success and suddenly start thinking that it's ours. And that's going to be the challenge that we have as a church. You know, we've been around for a year and a half, 2 years, and, you know, it doesn't take much to say, look at this. You know, a year and a half ago, we had this, like, little group of people that met here in a circle. And now we've got, I don't know what our numbers are, and that's one of the reasons we don't count. Because I don't want to get caught up in saying, look at this. We clearly have this many people, and your church clearly doesn't have that many people. So our church is clearly better than your church. We are successful. We're awesome. Yes, it's all about us. And we can't get caught up in that. And you can't get caught up in that on an individual basis. You can't look at, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but success is a problem. And we need to be careful. And that was the problem with Nebuchadnezzar, that suddenly all this stuff that God had given him, he saw how great he was and became arrogant and hardened with pride. The second issue, the second reason we toot our own horn is we forget that we are where we are only because God has put us there. We have what we have only because God has allowed us to have it. And we forget that. And that was the issue with Belshazzar. He goes on in Daniel 5:22. He says, but you, Belshazzar, his son, his grandson, his descendant, you have not humbled yourself, though you knew all of this. He knew the stories. I mean, come on. If we were to ask you to share stories about family, you know, and tell us about, you know, what are some great things about your family tree? And we like to talk about those things, but we often, you know, we leave out, you guys remember Christmas Vacation, we leave out Crazy Uncle Eddie. You know, nobody wants to talk about him. Oh, he's a little bit different. You know, we don't want that. And so, you know, this is a story that Belshazzar knew. Yeah, remember that time when Grandpa went nuts? You know, and he knew what was going on. He heard the story. It had been passed on. It's not something you easily forget. And he says, your problem was, Belshazzar, is that you knew all of this. And you just forgot it. And so I don't know how that works for us, but sometimes we need to remember. We need to look back and say, where were we? Where were we before God? I mean, the answer is nowhere. But even looking at our own accomplishments, our own successes, our own things that we have, we need to step back and just remember and reflect. I mean, someday this room might be air conditioned. Someday. And we're going to be in here all comfortable and be like, yeah, isn't this wonderful? And we're so great. And sometimes we just need to remember the sweat. And so, you know, we're getting into summer. Just start thinking about that. That God is trying to set us up so we can remember later about those times that we sweated like mad, crazy people. And in your own life, you know, I mean, many of you have kids. Many of you have healthy marriages. Many of you have your own physical health. And a lot of you can look back to a time when that wasn't the case. When there was that miscarriage and you thought, am I ever going to have kids? When things were really shaky with your marriage, is it ever going to work out? Or the marriage fell apart and you've remarried and you can look back on those things. You can look back on that time where the sickness was so great. Am I going to pull through? Am I going to survive? And so we need to remember that everything that we've got, it's because God has given it to us. And we need to not forget where we've been. Look back over your shoulder every once in a while and say, yeah, God, you're the one that's faithful. All I want, all I've got is because of you. It's from you. That's why we sang that song. Because we need to remember, we're not all that. We're only good. We only have anything of value because of God. And so that was the issue with Belshazzar. He forgot it. He knew it, but just forgot all about it. And then the third thing here for tooting our own horn is that we know, we remember, we succeed, and we just ignore it. We need to stop that. It's easy. We get caught up and say, okay, yeah, this was good. And we just ignore God. We blow him off. And we'll talk about this in the next 3 minutes. But we ignore it. And that was the issue with Belshazzar. going on then in the same verse there, 22. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God. And this is a really cool little thing that God's doing here. You did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life. And so he ignored it. He blew off God. I don't care. I'm going to switch gears now and say it's all about me somehow. He knew the stories. He knew that everything he had was from God. God holds everything in his hand, your life and all of your ways. So since you ignored that everything is in God's hand, therefore he sent the hand that wrote this inscription. So it was a very literal reminder that, hey, this hand, that giant hand that freaked you out, that's the hand that's holding everything that you've got. It's the God that's holding everything together. So then he goes on to interpret what the inscription meant. The inscription was written with many, many tekel parson. Here's what these words mean. The first word was many. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. And this word means to weigh on the scales, to be numbered, to be counted. And then tekel. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. And tekel is referring to a weight of gold. Or some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like gold and silver are also called precious metals. There we go. Thank you. He says this is the idea of a scale. He says, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. And then Perez, which is a derivative of the word Persian, or to be divided. He says, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then, so he interpreted the dream. God, it's like, hey, yeah, and good show for Belshazzar. He did something well here. He said, I promised you I'm going to give you something, and even though you just gave me the worst news ever, or he didn't want to believe that God held everything in his hands. He says, then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. So Daniel says, look, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. You've been weighed on God's scales and found wanting. You've been weighed and you don't have enough. And that's how they would do money transactions. You know, it wasn't like, hey, this dollar we have is, you know, legal tender in the United States for all debts, public and private. And, you know, we have a government that certifies things. The way they did it back then was a scale. And if you're buying this with this amount of, you know, you put on the scale and say, okay, you told me this was 10 pounds of gold. And, wow, it's 10 pounds of gold. Okay, here's my 16 cow. I don't know. Cows. But if you said, hey, this is 10 pounds of gold, and they put it on the scale, and the scale said, wait a second, that's 8 pounds. Are you trying to cheat me? And that's what God's saying. He says, look, you've been put on my scales, and you're found wanting. You don't measure up. And your kingdom is divided. And it says then that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, which this empire was huge, and he was in charge of it, he was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. So now, an entire empire is done. The Babylonians are no longer the rulers of the known world. Now, the Medo-Persian Empire are the rulers. And this is, I mean, let's zoom out from Daniel's story. God is working some stuff out here. And it's just incredible because he's now bringing in a group of people that are going to allow the people to return to their land and fix the temple and the walls and all that. But that's not until later. So Darius the Mede took over. So that very night, and again, if you know the story, if you were here last week, the way they did it is they didn't break through the walls. They actually rerouted the river that ran underneath the walls, rerouted it so they could actually travel under the walls and go in and destroy the city. And so that very night, it was the end of that. So the point is, be strong because you're not all that. And I think it's really interesting to remember, you know, this idea of being strong. I think it's hard for us. It requires strength for us to remember that we're not all that. In our culture, lack of success, is a sign of weakness. In our culture, to be dependent upon someone else is a sign of weakness. You mean you have to rely on somebody else? Yes. Oh, not me. I'm pretty awesome. Didn't you hear? I did this by myself. And so we've got this mentality, and it requires us to be strong to remember that we're not all that. We need to work at it. And so I need to fly through this because we're killing on time for the workers in the back there. But I just want to read this passage from James to you because I think it's really important for us to get this. He says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil." So James is saying, look, Belshazzar was talking about how awesome he was. We get caught up in, and hey, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to do this and do that. And he's like, dude, you're nothing. You're just a mist. In the span of history and the course of what God's doing, you're just a blip on the radar. So stop worrying about your own scheme. Stop boasting about what you're going to do. And start talking about what God's doing. Because God is the only one that makes any difference in your life. So let me look at this real quick. Belshazzar was weighed and found wanting. And so let's be practical here about where pride rears its ugly head. Because pride, we get caught up in pride. We get caught up in me. We get caught up in our stuff. And here's some ways. By the way, Facebook is awesome for this. If you want to tell everybody how great you are, Facebook is the place to do it. It's great. And it's so wonderful. And, you know, I know it's I don't know. You want to say, hey, yeah, man, I had a really fun time yesterday. Here's what we did. But I don't know. Somewhere there's this weird line between that and saying, well, I know I said we did this little thing, but I'll make it sound really big and important. And so we start to tell everyone how great we are. But here are the four areas that I think that pride rears its ugly head. The first one is our accomplishments, what we've done. We tell people about how great we are. We get caught up in pride. We get caught up in arrogance and thinking that we are all that because of what we've done. We say things like, we've earned this position, or I've worked my way to this spot, or I have made this money, and it's my money now, and I have earned it. I've worked hard. We've done this or that. We talk about our accomplishments, and we start saying, wow, look how great I am, because look what I have done. And we need to understand, as James just said, and as Belshazzar did not get, that what we have is because of God. It's because God has given it to us. So we can't get caught up in our accomplishments. The second thing is our relationships. Who we're with. Sometimes we get caught up in saying, oh, well, I know these people, and so therefore, I am great. I've been near them. I mean, granted, you're in the room with me right now, so please boast all that you want on Facebook. Today, I sat under the most amazing speaker ever. I didn't want him to stop. I hoped that it would get warmer in the room because I like sweating because he makes me just feel so good. No, but sometimes we get caught up in that. Well, did you know I was with them or I had this meeting with that person? But other times, you know, our pride, like I said, it rears its ugly head in our relationships because we get caught up in ourselves and how we relate to other people. Are you humble enough to say, I'm sorry, in your relationship with other people? Or are you stuck on, hey, I'm so cool, I'm awesome, I'm all that, I am perfect, I never fail? Because when you say you're sorry, you're admitting that, you know what, I'm not all that. You're admitting that I do mess up. I do fall short. Men, do you somehow feel that you are superior to your wives? Or all other women? Because you're not. The Bible talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, which was a sacrificial love, and wives, submit to your husbands. But there's nothing in there that says you are better than them because of your gender. But sometimes we get caught up and say, well, I am the man, and therefore what I say goes. You may kiss my ring. Like, and we've got to watch that. And again, there's a submission thing there, but it's not this, just because I've got some different anatomy than you, therefore I'm better. That's not biblical. And pride, we get caught up in that. Parents, are you strong enough to admit when you're wrong to your kids? I'm the dad. That's why. 'Cause I say so. And pride, this I'm all that, can get caught up with our kids. And I need to go to them and say, you know what? I know you're 8. And I know somewhere I feel like you're 8. I don't need to explain myself to you. I'm the dad. You're the kid. But somewhere in there, there's a breaking down of this arrogance and pride that says, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have made that happen, whatever. And sometimes our relationships, we get caught up in this pride, this I'm all that, I deserve it. And you know, are parents supposed to lead their children? Absolutely. Are kids supposed to obey? Definitely. But again, make sure you don't mess it up there. What about the other people you're around? The people that are always mopping the floor. Do you feel like you're superior to them? Do you feel like you're better than that person at Walmart? That, you know, oh, well, they're just pushing the broom. How about that waitress or waiter that waits on you, or the person at the counter at McDonald's, or the person at the movie theater that just won't give you your tickets ahead of time, even if you try 4 different times to go, was it 3 times, to get your tickets ahead of time for Iron Man 3. But, you know, sometimes we get caught up in this arrogance and this pride and this superiority thing and think, okay, well, those people, they don't deserve me. They don't deserve my time or my appreciation or whatever because I'm above them. You need to remember you're not all that. Third thing. We blow our horns about our righteous, our attachments. Sorry. Where we've been. Sometimes we get caught up and say, oh, I'm a part of this group. I'm a part of this club. I'm with these people. So therefore, I'm impressive. I'm superior. I'm from Delaware. Therefore, I'm better than you Central Pennsylvania people. And you're all like, whatever, I'm going to shoot you now. I don't have guns. but you know, sometimes we do cut up in that. I mean, we're from Mifflin County, so we're superior to Juniata County. We know that, right? And Juniata County, of course, is far superior to Perry County. But, you know, we get caught up in these associations, these attachments. We're like, oh, because I'm with them. Because I go to MC3... I am better than your church that does hymns with suits and ties. That's a dangerous place to be, people. We need to understand that anything that we've got is because God has given it to us. Because we are able to do things because He has worked through us. And we need to remember that it's not about our attachments. We can't get caught up in that. Where I've been and I've been a part of this and I've done that. Pride's rearing its head. We've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. And then the final area. That seems appropriate. Our last one is our righteousness. How often do we get caught up in this? You know, we're in church. We want to obey God. We want to do the right thing. We want to do what He has called us to do. And a lot of times we get caught up in our righteousness and about how we live and say, wow, I have never done that. Insert sin there. You people that have done that, you obviously need to fix it. You got to get right and God doesn't love you or whatever. But yet we ignore all the other things that we've done. And, you know, for every person in this room, you could list 10 sins that you don't do that the other people around you do. And they could list probably 100 if you compile them all together the other way around. We can't get caught up in our righteousness and how we live. And again, we want to live the right way. We want to obey. And we want to encourage people. Hey, brother, sister, what you're doing is wrong. But not this judgment like, oh, I'm better than you because I've never done that. And I could turn around and say the same thing about you, about something that you do that I've never done. And then someone else could say something about me that they've never done that I do. Like, we just need to watch this legalism, this righteousness stuff. We get caught up in this moral superiority thing. And Isaiah actually talks about it. In case you think that what you've done, what good is in you is because of you, in case you think your righteousness is worth something and worth telling everyone about, this is what Isaiah says. We are all like one who is unclean. All of our so-called righteous acts are like a menstrual rag in God's sight. Yeesh. This is the Bible. I did not add this. This is the way it is. There's a euphemism that says filthy rags, but the word means that. Our righteous acts are like menstrual rags in His sight. We all wither like a leaf. Our sins carry us away like the wind. We've got nothing to offer. Again, the only thing that we've got is what God has done through us. What we have to offer is because Jesus has worked through us. And so we can't get caught up in saying how great we are because of our righteousness. So anyway, it's late. It's hot. I'm sorry. We've got ATU going on here, and I really should have been done by now. But we just need to remember that we're not all that. Belshazzar didn't get it. And that night, his arrogance, the kingdom was taken away, not just from him, but from the entire, the empire was done. So be strong. You're not all that. I'm not all that. We've got nothing to offer. And please, if this is your first time here, I was seriously joking and about my opening come in awesome thing. I want to work very hard to say, hey, I've got nothing to offer you either. Yeah, I'm a pastor. Yeah, I've got titles and degrees, and I've got Jesus. That's the only thing I can give you that's going to matter. And so I pray that He would do something in your life so that you can offer Him to other people too. Would you pray with me? God, thank You that we're not all that. Thank You, as we were encouraged last week, that You've got us where we want, that You've got us in Your hand, that You've worked out every detail. At the same time, God, help us not to get caught up in thinking that it's because of us that we have what we have. It's because of who we are that we've got what's going on. I pray that You would help us to be humble in how we interact with everyone, with our relationships and our accomplishments and our attachments and our righteousness. God, let us not be deceived thinking that we've done this and that we're better and that we earned it. We've earned it. Help us to realize it's because of You working in us and just to exude that everywhere we go. Thank You, God, for Your word. Thank You for Daniel and his willingness to be strong. In Jesus' name, amen.